Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Tonight's that night that God has brought us once again on the radio station, KASK radio station. We're so happy what God is doing for us. And tonight we have a person that's going to teach us the word of God. Her name is Dr. McClendon. Are you there, Dr. McClendon?
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Hunter. I'm here. Praise God, right, everybody. Man, it is such a blessing to be united with God's people. I just want to thank God tonight, give God all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to come together in your love, your grace, your mercy. Father, everything that you have to offer us, Father, we receive it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because you know what we need before we ask. So, Lord, we just want to give you all glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Tonight, we're going to talk about fear not. Can everybody hear me? Fear not. This is what we're going to talk about tonight. Amen. Because for God, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, it says, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. And how many people will allow the Holy Spirit to be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path? We should allow the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, to be a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Excuse me. Sometimes when God calls us, you won't have time to go put on your Sunday best, your makeup, your best dress. You won't have time. When God calls us, we can't have it here. We got to get up and go. Amen. Get up and go and do what God has called us to do. Because sometimes there'll be some suddenly, and we have to obey the Spirit of God. We need to listen for his voice. Amen. Sometimes that means turning off the TV, the radio, even our phones, placing it on silent. Some places we go, we have to place it on silent. When we go and do what God has called us to do, we don't want to have any fear. It's so much fear in the world now because of this coronavirus. We don't have anything to fear. We have to stay connected with God, looking to our help, looking up. Amen. Sometimes in our prayer hour, when we're praying, God will show us things and people and places that he wants us to go. He will show you somebody that he give you a word that he wants you to speak to somebody. Sometimes people won't receive it. They won't receive it because they're looking at that person, you know. But we want to have no fear when it comes to doing the will of God. So we don't want to miss that opportunity. We want to walk by faith and not by sight, not by what we see, because that's what's happening in the world now. Everybody is fearful. They walking according to the world and not according to God's word. It's so much fear. But we as a body of Christ, we don't have to fear these things because God gave us a word, amen? He gave us a word in Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. And I won't leave this word because he gave it to me when my family members got sick. And he reminded me. He said, here, write it up on the tablet of your heart. And then that way when you need it, it's there. It's just like your house. You have things in your house that you need that you can go to your refrigerator and your clothes, your closet. You can go and get what you need. You get your shoes. You get what. But God gave us a word. He said, surely he had bore our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, hallelujah, we are healed. We are healed. Fear not. Fear not. Yes, we live in the world, but we should keep our eyes on Jesus. No matter what is going on, knowing that God has made, he's in control of the universe. We as the body of Christ should not fear because we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have it within us. We're not perfect, but the anointing is. The anointing is perfect. So So when the Holy Spirit knows, when we know that the Holy Spirit has come to operate in our life, will we allow him? Will people allow the Holy Spirit to operate in their lives? We have to be obedient to that Holy Spirit, that promise. God promised us the Holy Spirit, and is available to all of us. All of us. Amen. John 14:15-18, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He said the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit is within us. He dwells with us. He dwells with us. That's why sometimes we can go places and do things, and it's such a joy. And at other times, we're in the flesh. Okay? But the Holy Spirit dwells. He can operate. When we welcome him in, he can operate whenever he gets ready, because he's welcome. It's just like a person that comes to your home. They know they're welcome. They come to your house because they're welcome. Amen? They're welcome. It said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. God let us know he will come to us. We don't have anything to fear. We don't have to fear. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Of power, because the promise, which is the Holy Spirit, that's our power that dwells with us. But ye shall receive power. Acts 1:8 said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen? That's that power of the Holy Ghost. That's what causes people to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. The Holy Spirit is the one. The Holy Spirit is in control. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's that love. That's that love that God is talking about. That's that love. In a sound mind. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. And Proverbs 10:7 say, the memory of the just is blessed. Amen. This is what we must do. We must allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Invite him in. None of us are perfect, but some of us are already anointed from birth. Amen. We're anointed. Some of us are already anointed. Like Sarah and Elizabeth, some children are already anointed. It's what they do with the anointing. Saul had anointing on his life. So did David. But it just depends on what you do with the anointing. So we can't look at the outer appearance of a person, all the things that's going on in the earth. We as a body of Christ should continue in prayer. That love, that power from the Holy Ghost. And the only way you're going to get it is when the Holy Spirit dwells upon you, dwells within you. That's the only way you'll be able to operate in the Holy Spirit. And I realize this. A lot of people, they know the Bible, they know the Word, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that you will be speaking in unknown tongues. And that's not everybody. Everybody has a walk with God individually. But that power, like on the day of Pentecost, that power, the Holy Spirit that is within us, that's our power. That's our power. The Bible says in Acts 2:4, it said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. The Spirit will give you that utterance for some of those who speak in tongues. I know there's people who go and battle in this, but when the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks with power. He speaks with insight from on high. He's not just speaking. He speaks what he hears from from on high. Who know God, they going to know him. Those who know Christ Jesus, they will know him. He said, and Jesus told him, he said, if you know me, you know my Father. Oh, hallelujah. If you know me, you know my Father. And so this is those who carry that are carriers of the Holy Spirit, that have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means who dwells in you is perfect. That anointing is perfect. The Holy Spirit is perfect. Amen? But you are a vessel. We are a vessel to allow the Holy Spirit to use us in whatever way he wants to use. If he wants us to send, if he wants to send us to give a message, we'll do that. If he shows somebody faith that we need to pray for, if somebody is sick, and we need to pray for or lay hands on, it's all the Holy Spirit. It is not us. We're just those vessels that he used. We're just those vessels that he used to get the job done. I thank God. I thank God that he has used me and continue to use me to do his will. I thank God for that. I am a vessel that God uses to do his will. Amen? All of us have a... All of us have an individual anointing, an individual prayer life. We have our individual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can thank God for that. It's truly, truly a blessing. It's a blessing. And to know it. A lot of people are walking around here with no, and the gifts that, and the talents that God has given them, they're dying, all going to the grave. Because they don't use them. They sit in their way, and they sit in their way, and they do everything else in the world. Yes, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. But as time go by and God allow you that opportunity, it's time to say, yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your will, Lord. Fear not. We don't have to fear when the Holy Spirit lives within us. We can go where God sent us. We can do what he called us to do without fear, because who is operating? It is not even us. It's the Holy Spirit that's operating. So when he called you to go and pray for someone, or when he called you to give a message, or whatever he called you to do, it's the Holy Spirit. Now you know it's the Holy Spirit that's within you that is doing all the work. You're not even working. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing all the work. But you are that vessel. Amen? And so that's what I am glad about. I thank God that he has placed his word in my heart, that he allowed me, that he trusts me with his word, that I won't waste it. Amen? I won't waste it with people or with things. I won't waste his word, because his word is precious, and it will not fall to the ground. Once you speak that word, by his stripes, you are healed. Once you speak that word, wherever you speak it, wherever he send you to speak it, whoever he allows you to get, he said it will not fall to the ground. So that's why we can speak God's word, knowing that he put his word above his name. It will not be moved. His name shall not be moved. So I just thank God tonight. Give God all the glory and praise for what he's doing, what he's about to do. He's in control of this earth. He's in control of this earth. We, as the body of Christ, as the saints of God, we should be praising God, giving God the glory, and not worrying about. Because worrying means that we're not trusting. So we don't have to worry about all this stuff that's going on in the earth. God say he see everything, he hear everything, he know everything. He's Alpha and Omega. So guess what? All we got to do is look to him and talk to him. If you talk to him, he'll talk to you. Amen? And that's what we need people to do. We need to come together as a body of Christ and honor God with our whole heart, our mind, our souls. Amen? We should honor him because he's worthy to be praised, not just on Sunday, not just on Monday, but every day of the week. And he says, you remember him. We can praise him wherever we are. We can share the word with him. Because like I was telling somebody, you're not going to always, when a situation arises, you're not going to be at church all the time. And when that situation arises in the middle of the night, you can't say, well, I got to go to the church. God wants us to fellowship, but he wants us to fellowship at home as well. He wants us to glorify him at home. Wherever you go, he wants you to glorify him. We should have no fear. We don't have to fear this thing that's going on now. We don't have to fear who's in charge. We ask God to take that from us. Deliver me. Let every member of my body serve you, Lord. Every member of my body, let it serve you and you only. Amen? Every member. Let my eyes, dear Lord God, serve you spiritually. Let my ears, every member of my body, serve you and say yes to your will. I'll praise God tonight. God is so good to us. We cannot thank him enough. We don't have to be fearful. Fear not, because God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He gave us power first, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Power, because he knew we were going to need it. Wherever we go, we're going to need that power. Wherever he sends us, we're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost to operate in our lives. Amen? We're going to need that power, the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, wait till you endue with power. So there are going to be some places that God send you to. Some people he'll allow you to speak to, and some he won't. He won't allow you to speak to or give a message because, see, God already know our hearts. No, they're not going to receive it. Amen? But we don't have to fear. Let us not fear. Let us trust God. Let us believe in him. Let us pray for one another. Let us pray for one another. The ones that are weak, sometimes we all get weak. Let us pray for one another. We're not here to badger one another and say this and say that and whatever. Let us pray for one another. So I ask the Lord tonight. I ask the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, bless his saints to come together. Bless this congregation to come together and pray for one another. Amen. That we will be strengthened, that we can go forth doing his will, that when I'm not even with you, you're praying for me. Amen? You're saying a prayer for me as well, the saints of God. So we don't have to fear. Amen? We don't have to fear going to the doctor because he's our doctor. And even if we do, we ask God, Lord, let every hand, hallelujah, that come near this body that you have given me, hallelujah, let them be healing hands. Let them be healing hands. Amen. So we don't have to fear. We don't want to have to fear these things that's going on. So we take them before the throne of God, giving him all glory, honor, and praise, thanking him for keeping us, thanking him for making us whole again, those who need to be made whole. Amen. What do you need from him tonight? Hallelujah. What do you need from God? Ask him and he'll give it to you because he's not a God that says, I'll give you a stone. Amen. He won't do that to you because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whatever you need, whatever we need from him tonight, we can ask and he'll deliver on his promises. He's not a man that he should lie. But when you ask with your heart and not ask amiss, God will answer your request. He said, I give you what your heart so desires. It's what you desire to be made whole. If you desire to be healed. If you desire to do the will of God. Amen. Just let him know. What is it that you want from him tonight? I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about in the will of God. I'm talking about in the will of God. But I just thank God. Give God the glory tonight because God is so good to us. So good. We cannot thank him enough. He's not done with us yet. He's just the beginning of how God is allowing us to see some things, to know some things, even through all the things that are going on, even in our families and what God allow us, those with spiritual eyes, we can see. We see the things that are happening, that are going on, and we're saying, thank you, Lord, because this is teaching me a lesson. It's teaching me a lesson. It's teaching me what to do and what not to do. It's teaching me to stay connected to him. It's teaching me to keep praying. It's teaching me to pray for others. His word is teaching us. Amen? So that's why I thank God. Give God the glory. So we're walking by faith and not by sight. Amen? We're walking by faith and not by sight. So I just thank God tonight, giving God all glory, honor, and praise for his word. He's worthy to be praised. And we, as a body of Christ, should continue in praising God, giving God the glory, because he is worthy to be praised. Amen. So I just wanted to share this with everyone tonight, because like I said, we as the body of Christ should not fear, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, and we should pray one for another as the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. Amen. We want to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. So we thank you. But I want to open up the lines and say, anyone that has a word to say, whatever you want to say pertaining to the word of God, we're here listening. Amen? So, is there anyone?
Yes, ma'am. Sister McClendon, Dr. McClendon, can you hear me?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Great job, sister. Great job.
Thank you, Brother Charles.
I've learned nobody but God can do that. I've learned over the years, Jesus said, pray for your enemies.
Yes.
I've learned to do that over the years. One of the thorns I had in my flesh, I could pray for them and forgive them, but I couldn't forget what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He done removed that thorn within the last month. He done removed that. Everything's good now.
Amen.
Everything's good. You know, I told preacher man today, or yesterday we was talking, I had several thorns in my flesh. One of them was strip clubs. Besides the gift of God giving of himself, he came down, born as a man, taught as a man, lived as a man, died as a man, and rose again as God.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that gift, the other greatest gift he gave us was a woman. And I was just hooked on the flesh at one time. I used to make a lot of money, and every weekend I would drop anywhere from $300 to $600 in the strip club, but still had a whole lot of money left.
Mm-hmm.
But one day, God removed that thorn. And I told the preacher, man, I could identify with King David when he looked across his balcony one night in the moonlight with one of his mighty men there, and Bathsheba was on her balcony bathing herself, and they used to put oils in the water, the scented oils in the water. When that black woman rolled about that water with that black skin glistening with that oil on it under the moonlight in the lamplight, King David said, "Who is that?"
Uh-huh.
His mighty man said, "That's Uriah the Hittite's wife." He said, "Go get her. I must have her." And I had that same thorn in my flesh for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But God can, my God can do anything.
Anything.
If we let him, he can do anything. He removed the thorn of the flesh for the women that to go sit and have my lap dances and the things I was doing. And that's gone. It's been gone. The last time I went to the strip club was 2007. I just quit going.
Mm-hmm.
But that forgetting poet, preacher man, and Mother Bobby prayed for that, and it's gone.
Amen.
I can forget
Amen.
That. You know, if you let God, he remove all those stones, every one of
Amen.
Them. He can do anything.
Yes, he will.
So that's all I got to say.
Amen. Well, praise God for that testimony. That is so awesome, because you know what? A lot of times people can't admit, you know, the thorn in the flesh. They can't admit it. And let me tell you, we all have fallen short. We all have had some thorns. And so nobody can talk about it. Nobody say, "Oh, yeah, look at him, look at her, look at that, look at that." Because we all have had some. And some people still got it. But that's not our concern. God, as you come to Christ, he began to clean you up. Amen.
Amen.
We start putting on new clothes. That's why he says, shed some old clothes. We start putting on new clothes. Amen. And this is what he do for you. That's why the beauty is on the inside and not on the outside.
Because
it starts from the inside. Because the beauty that God places upon you comes from the It comes from the inside. Amen? And
Amen.
God cleans you up for his glory. And now God is getting glory out of your life and not the clubs and the lap dances and all this stuff. They're not getting the glory anymore. God is getting the glory out of your life. Now you are living a testimony for him. Giving a testimony, that's for something to help somebody else. Amen? To put that word out there that says you can do it too. Have faith. Amen? And you can do it. God will do this for you in your life. And this is what we must do. All must turn around and come to Christ. We all must at some point in our life as he allows us day by day to get up. We shouldn't be the same way we are. We shouldn't be, like you say, God delivered you. Okay, so we shouldn't take that to the grave, amen? We shouldn't take lap dances to the grave. We shouldn't take these things to the grave, amen? So we should be cleaned up at some point. Whatever we've been doing for years, God give us another chance. We should want to be clean, amen, and made whole. And stop some of the things that we have been doing in the past. I tell people, I don't want to be like I used to be in the past. I don't want to be. If I'm still the same way, I've been doing this for 30 years, and I'm still doing it, I don't want to do those things anymore. God is cleaning us up because he have a work for us to do. We are witnesses. Amen. We are vessels. And most of all, we are friends of God. So guess what? He's cleaning us all up. He's cleaning us up. So we thank God that he see that we are fit to be cleansed for his glory. For his glory. For it's truly, truly a blessing. Truly a blessing. Anyone else? Truly a blessing. Truly a blessing. Thank you, Brother Charles, for that testimony. We thank you because it's a blessing when someone else can come and give a testimony that because so many people don't testify. They hold it in. But we don't want to take some of these things. We don't want to take any of these things, you know, in the next year, the next season, what God is doing for us. You know, we want to be able to go out and tell some people. So that's why sometimes when you used to hang out with chickens, you start flying with eagles. Amen. Not that you don't like chickens. Keep moving up a little bit higher. You know, we don't forget them. We pray for them that they will come up higher as well. Amen. And that's what we do. We pray for people and say, Lord, help them like you helped me. Help others. We pray for them, asking God to help them and help us as well. As we go on our journey, we ask God to help us because it's not easy living in this world with people because every day is different. Every day is different. Every day is different, okay? So we have to pray constantly and daily without ceasing, the Bible says, without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, and that's what we must do. So that was awesome. That was truly awesome. Amen. Is there anyone else on the line that would like to have a word?
I was just thinking about, you know, what you said about fear not. I had heard this message one time, and someone said that there were 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year that we shouldn't fear. Think about, you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking about things that have gripped my heart to fear. Sometimes it's not even just you that you might be afraid of something, but it might be for someone else. And then you have to remind yourself, like you said, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and of a sound mind. And sometimes fear really does become a battle between the natural man and the spirit man. But you have to just get in the spirit in order to overcome that fear. When we're in a carnal mind or when we're in a state of fear, fear can actually paralyze you.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps you from faith, because if your faith is in God and if you're relying and depending on God, it doesn't matter what the circumstance or the trial or whatever you're coming up against at that particular time, because you're trusting that no matter what you're going through, that God is in control. And that's walking in the spirit. The way we walk by faith is we're in the presence of God and we're knowing and relying and depending. God, you got this. This might be happening for a reason, but God, you have this. And, you know, I just don't feel like in my life that I'm always in control, because I'm not. There are things that maybe I may try to do, especially when it comes to my children. You know, you never want to see the people that you love suffer. But then sometimes you just have to give that over to God. Pray in faith. Pray believing. He said that we should pray without ceasing, that men should always pray. And that's part of our connection with God. I wouldn't trade my journey for anything, because even the things that I've gone through where I've been afraid, you know, when you put it in God's hand, he'll take what seemed to be your tragedy and he'll turn it into a testimony. He'll turn it into a triumph. He'll turn it into a victory, because the things that we walk through are not just for us.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You know, Jesus was acquainted with all of our grief and all of our sorrows. And I look at him in the garden when he was praying to his Father. You know, if you can take this from me, take this cup from me, God. You know, so he was wrestling in the garden. That's the way I see it. That's the revelation he gave me. Jesus' humanity was wrestling with his spirit. But the way he overcame that is he submitted his spirit to God when he said, not my will, Lord, but let your will be done. And so when we take whatever it is that we're going through and we submit it to the will of God, then the peace comes and the victory comes and the fear has to depart. Darkness can't stay in the presence of light.
That's right.
That's all I had to say.
Amen, amen. Praise God. That's awesome. And you're absolutely right, because Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he let us know. The Bible says he went through all these things as we go through. So, yes, there come times when the cup gets bitter for us. And it's all, like you say, your children, especially when it comes to people's children and their loved ones and so forth. Sometimes it seems so hard. And even sometimes we have to call somebody and talk to somebody. We can talk to God. Sometimes it gets hard. And when we call people and begin to talk with them, or we begin to sing a song, however the Holy Spirit rises up in us, he gives us that comfort, that peace that surpasses all understanding. He'll give it to you because we are part of him. Things get hard, and we have to leave it with him. There's nothing else we can do. So we go in prayer. We pray. Some people, I used to hear people sing a song, and I wonder what they'd be singing about. But it's deep down on the inside, and they'll start singing a song or humming a song, or some people will get their Bible out and start reading, or whatever, whichever way the Holy Spirit leads them at that time to get some relief. But God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, regardless of the situation. That is so true. Regardless of the situation, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he had to yield his spirit. And sometimes that's when we go into, when we get into situations like that, we have to yield ourselves, surrender Surrender all to God. Surrender to him. That's what we have to and must do. Surrender all to God. That is so. That is such a powerful word. Yes, it's powerful. That is so powerful. Amen. I thank you for that, sister. Anyone else? I know it's probably some others on the line, but I mean, but that's fine. But we just give God all glory, honor, and praise, because it's truly a blessing. Even just a few of us that's online that's recognizing God's word, that is not ashamed of the gospel, that saying, hey, I'm a partake with you all tonight. I partake because I partake with Jesus, you know? I partake with God. So I'll partake with you all tonight. And so it's truly a blessing when we can come together. We don't have to have a whole crowd, but it's a blessing when we all can come together and be on one accord, expecting to show up, expecting God's presence as we come forth and speak his word and come into agreement on the word of God. It's truly a blessing that we can understand the word and have no fear. There are times when things come up. There is some times when you don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do because we stay connected to God, the promise that he sent us, the Holy Spirit will give you an answer. He will give you an answer. Let patience have its perfect work. But he will give you an answer. He will be there with you. Nothing shall overtake you. That's what he said in his word. It won't overtake you. Even though we go through things, it won't overtake you because God is with us. Comfort us in our time of need. When we're going through situations, when your family going through situations, then you don't know what to do. A lot of times you don't know what to do. But the Holy Spirit began to pinch off you those words. He began to give you those words to speak and to think. And when you open your mouth, he began to speak to give you what to say. When you don't know what to say, when you don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit steps in. And the Spirit doesn't dwell with us always. It's like your children. You don't dwell with your children always, but they come and go. You see them or you call them, you talk to them, whatever. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell with us, and the Bible tells you that. He said the Holy Spirit will not dwell with man always. So he gives you a choice to call upon him, okay? He gives you a choice to call upon the Holy Spirit because, no, he's not operating every day. He's not speaking every day. He can, okay? And he speaks to some more than others. But the thing about it is we're connected with him and we can call upon God at all times, knowing that he has given us the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does speak. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. He will comfort us, as the Lord says. He'll comfort me. He'll comfort all of us. So that's the blessing, just to know those words when you can't think of anything else. There's a scripture, you see, that God was, he said, I'll write my laws on the tablet of your heart. So at that time when you need it, that scripture, there's that song, amen? There's that song in your heart that glorifies God. There's a word that glorifies God. There's a word that'll run the devil off. There's a word that the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. That word, hallelujah, it's that word. I said, we are already healed. So when we began to speak those words of God, he said, I'll watch over them to perform them. So when we began to speak his word, he said, not one will fall to the ground. So we can speak his word knowing with confidence and with faith that when we speak God's word, it's going to accomplish that it accomplished. Amen? Is his word going to accomplish it? You don't have to worry about it falling to the ground. You don't have to worry about it escaping. Because God's word is going to do what he said it will do. But we have to speak it by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. So when we speak God's word will not fall to the ground. So that's why when you're in a situation that we're going through, we can seek God, and he'll give you a scripture for whatever situation you go through. So God will remind you, because we are part of him, he will remind you of a scripture or a song. That's why some people break out in a song and they'll just start singing. Hallelujah. They'll start singing, or they'll start quoting a verse, because it rose up in their spirit. The Holy Spirit has given it to them in their memory. He's wrecked in their memory bank and brought this up. Even sometimes when we're driving down the road or at work or wherever we may be at home, we just break out in a song. We start singing. Our scripture will come forth. Amen? Because it's the Holy Spirit having his way within us. And it's truly, truly a blessing to know that we are connected, that we are made acceptable to God. It's truly a blessing. Truly a blessing. Amen? So, yeah. Anyone else?
Yes, ma'am. This is Brother Charles again.
Amen.
I talked to a forensic scientist one time, and I'm always curious about why things happen, you know, the when and the where and the why. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the scripture says that Jesus was in such agony, such stress,
yes,
that he was sweating droplets of blood.
Yes.
I talked to a forensic scientist. He said he done seen prisoners on death row do the same thing. That the small capillaries right beneath your skin and your eyes such the wrist burst, and the sweat glands, it comes out through the pores of your skin. So
mm-hmm.
he done seen it. Because I showed him that verse in the Bible. He said, yes, that's real. He said, I've personally seen it myself.
Wow.
So that lets you know Jesus said, like you said, he set aside his deity, his Godhead, and did everything
yes.
as a man.
Yes.
And that flesh wasn't willing to suffer because he had seen people crucified.
Mm-hmm.
I read in some books that Jesus actually built some of the crosses that people was nailed to, crucified on, and he had seen the horror of the cross. That he knew what his flesh was going to go through. And that's why the rest hit. The flesh didn't want to give it up.
That's
but
right.
It's just like you say. Nevertheless, now my will be done.
Yes.
He finally submitted. The spirit over Paul says the spirit man can always win out over the flesh man if we let it.
Amen.
Just submit. Just submit to the spirit.
Amen. Amen. That is so awesome. I tell you what, you know, it's so many things and so much information that people don't know. Like you said, when you talk to the forensic, this is what he, you know, the information that he's saying, this was really happened. And it's, I mean, when Jesus gave up, you know, his deity to come down and to suffer through all of that for us, more people should be running at the door saying,
Amen.
God's will. Amen. I want to do
Amen.
Your will, Lord. I don't want this. I want every member of my body to be cleansed, Lord, that you get the glory out of all of my members. Amen. Every member of my body give you glory. Amen. Let my eyes, your Lord God, give you. Let my ears, my mouth, you know. But so many people, it's so much come out of their mouth. So much come out of their mouth. And don't get me wrong, nobody's perfect. But we have to. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, see, some people God has gifted them with patience. Amen. Some
Amen.
Have to ask them for it, huh? Some whatever gift, some people God has gifted them to teach. Some have to ask for it. Hallelujah. Some he has gifted to, he said, to preach. Some have to ask for it. God said, I'm no respect a person. I give it to you. But you got to desire. You got to want this. I just don't give it to you just to be given it. If you desire, I give it. So therefore, anything that I know that Like I tell people, I said, I confess. I said, I had, at one time, I was asking God, Lord, I don't have any patience. Will you give me some patience? So he began to give me patience, you see? And especially in anger, driving. See, all these people that's driving down the highway with an angry spirit, that angry spirit is in the air, but they haven't asked God to clean them up from that. So we have to ask him. So see, everybody don't have an angry spirit. Some people just, look, you see some of those people that they just as calm as I don't know what, and then they say, oh, they set a bomb somewhere. But they got a calm spirit. They didn't ask God to deliver them from that other nonsense. See, those things, because see, God's going to allow you to know what he's going to allow you to know what needs to be cleansed at the end of the season and the time that it needs to be cleansed. He's going to let you know. Now, it's up to you to say, Lord, cleanse me from this. To you. You can either keep it. That's why we have so many people going in and out of the prison systems and do it. See, the Bible says this, and we talked about it tonight. Fear not. He has given us power, love, and of a sound mind. So if you fear God, you're not going to go over there and rob, steal, or kill. If you fear him. But see, if you don't fear him, then you're going to do whatever. And you're not going to ask God to take those things that's stealing away from you. Okay? There's people that they wouldn't dare steal nothing. They wouldn't dare steal nothing. But then they do other things. Okay?
Amen.
But whatever that other thing is, you have to ask God if you want to be delivered from it. You have to ask, Lord, deliver me from this thing. I don't want this. I want you. Deliver me because I want you. I want to replace that with you, your word. So we have to ask God to deliver. See? And that's what it's all about. Asking God. We have to ask him because he's such a gentleman. He's not going to say, hey, I'm going to force it on you. Some are already gifted with certain gifts to use them. It's up to them, you know. It's up to all of us to use what God has given. And I tell people when I'm talking about the word of God, I'm in my greatest element. Everything else is secondary, maybe third or fourth. But I love talking about the word of God. This is what strengthens us. Amen? It strengthens us. It sets us on our way. And so I thank God for that, you know. And a lot of times people look at it and say, oh, yeah, they just, no, this is real. Because I want the Holy Spirit to live in my life and dwell in me. And that God's word will be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That I will know which way to go and which way not to go. And I know this is like the sister was saying, no, he doesn't dwell with us all day long, every day. He can. No, he can. But this is the thing. God give you a choice. Are you going to call up on me today? What are you going to do? See, when he give you a chance to rise, are you going to take that day and do what you want to do? You're going to go out and party and talk about people and you're going to do all these other things? Or are you going to serve God with them in whatever way you can? Whether it's giving somebody a word, whether it's helping somebody, whether it's saying somebody saying something good about somebody, whether it's encouraging somebody, you know, buying a meal, whatever. And I was telling somebody, we have 1,440 minutes in a day. What are we doing with them?
Amen.
What are we doing with them? What are we doing with those words? I mean, are we speaking God's word? Were we all day long? What are you doing? What have you done today? Have you told anybody about God? Have you told anybody that God loves them? Amen. Have you told anybody? Have you thought about it? Have you read about it? Have you asked God to send the word? Amen. Because we can speak the word in the atmosphere, and God say the winds are his messengers, and the wind will take it where it needs to go. It will deposit it where it needs to go. All we got to do is speak it out. Like they're speaking about this coronavirus, we can speak the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, in the air, and it's deposited where it needs to go. That's how powerful the word of God is. over any kind of violence, over anything in this earth. That's why he said he put his word above his name. Amen? Because his word can be deposited anywhere. We can speak it in the atmosphere. And guess what? It'll change things. Hallelujah. God said, I put my word above my name. So his word can be spoken in the atmosphere. And God will take that word, allow that word to be taken by the winds and deposited where it needs to go. So we just have to speak it more. Speak that word. Speak it. When you speak it, and you know what I love about Elisha, when he said, when the king asked, he asked the servant, he said, which one of y'all is a traitor? He said, none of us, my Lord. He said, that prophet Elijah, he said, God, he'd allow him to see what you're doing in your bedroom. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. If God can allow him to see what he's doing in his bedroom, do you hear me? God's word can go anywhere. All we got to do is speak it in the atmosphere. Speak God's word in the atmosphere. Amen?
Amen.
That's how powerful God's word is. It shall be done. It shall be done. His word, God's word is powerful. That's what he has given us, his word. And he said, we'll not fall to the ground. So when we are speaking God's word in the atmosphere and speaking it from the heart, guess what? It won't fall to the ground. It will not fall to the ground. So you can speak God's word all day long. And every word you throw out there will not fall to the ground. They will be in the atmosphere, distributing words. Oh, hallelujah. The words will take wings and be distributed where they need to go. Amen? So that's why we can come together and begin to speak God's word. That's why I can speak a word over here, and then God can take it over to your place. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's what we should always do, always pray, always seek God for his guidance, for his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding, and always speak the word of God. It is truly, truly a blessing for even us tonight to come together and dwell in God's presence. The Lord said, well, two or three are joined together in my name, there I am in the midst. Amen? So we thank God tonight because he's truly worthy to be praised. Truly worthy. I don't ever want to stop speaking God's word. Doesn't mean we're perfect. It means that the anointing that is upon us is perfect. Amen? So whenever the Holy Ghost speaks through you, you can guarantee that word is perfect. Amen. That message is a perfect message for whoever, because it's given by the Holy Ghost. That's the only way you can get it. It's the only way. It's by the promise. So we just give God the glory tonight. Anybody else have a message? We got about 7 minutes. Anybody else? Well, I thank you, Brother Charles and Sister Bobby. I think it was Sister Bobby. I just want to thank God, give God all the glory, because it's truly a blessing. Truly a blessing tonight. Truly a blessing. We have shared the word of God, and I pray that we continue in his word, speaking it in the atmosphere, singing it, however the Holy Spirit give it to you, that it may be cast out in the earth, amen, and let it arise above every situation that's going on in the earth, amen, because we know God is all-powerful, amen, and we thank God. So whatever is going on, we send the word, amen.
Amen.
From
amen.
Top to bottom. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Dr. McClendon?
Yes.
I ask the people to pray for me, pray for my wife,
amen,
pray for my family, pray across the nation that God make the glory. That's my, I'm making a request over the line. I know we speak it to the nation, but the nation is here, what God is doing through us, by us, and in us. I want to thank God tonight for those who have been on the line tonight with us. And thank you,
amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hey,
yes, we're. Yes.
One more thing. Yes. And I'm not trying to hold the line up, but nobody else want to talk. You know, the power you're talking about is courage. There's a whole lot of Christians in the United States, and I believe that. There's a whole lot of Christians in the United States and around the world. I believe that. But a lot of them don't have the courage to come forth and talk about what God's doing in their lives. I got one thing to share that God told me the other day. I asked God, the next time I get with a group of believers, let me be the least amongst them. And he reminded me of this. I've answered everything. He gave you everything you always asked for, Charles. I said, well, why would you take my stammering tongue from me? He said, because it pleased me not to. He said,
amen.
I did the most.
You better come on here.
The tongue had a knot in it. He said, but look what he did by being obedient. Look what I used him to do with a knot in his tongue. He said, then,
amen.
Smith Wigglesworth. Most Christians don't know about Smith Wigglesworth. He talked so bad, his wife, during the Azusa conference, he was going down to speak.
Uh-huh.
And his wife asked him not to go. Said, Smith, they laughing at you. Said, he talked behind your back. Said, you shamed me. Mm-hmm. Smith said, I'm going to obey the Lord.
Amen.
And Smith Wigglesworth got down there and got on the podium. The son was sniggering at him because they know he had a... He stood real bad. He had a stammering tongue. Mm-hmm. Said, but God had the Holy Ghost fell on him that day. And he talked so plain, so he turned the place out.
Amen.
Same people that were laughing at him, he talked plainer than they did that day. And I
saw
some of his recordings on the internet. And Smith was a very small man. He said, all the books that he couldn't read and write. He said, but God gave him the anointing through the Holy Ghost to read the Bible. So that's the only book he ever read in his whole life was the Bible.
Amen.
So, and if you follow his life, through the research on his life, God used that stammering tongue and he'll be mighty to things. Mighty things.
Amen.
So, you know what? I'm pleased with my stammering tongue now. I would ask God for that, Lord, because he said it pleases me for you to be that way.
Amen.
So, you got
Amen.
Courage to speak. When you can't stand there, so you still do the best you can and you sit down in the name of the Lord. He said,
Amen.
All I want you to do is to have courage.
Amen.
So you'll be all right.
Amen. Amen. And that's it. That's what he told somebody. He said, have courage. Have courage. And that is so important that we have courage. But you know what? You see, the thing about it is we had to wait until God got us to that point, which is a blessing. Now you're satisfied with the way you are. And that's what I was talking about. We may not be perfect, but the anointing on your life is. Amen? That anointing
Amen.
Is what speaks. So that anointing is what's perfect on our lives. We'll never be perfect on this side. But the anointing is perfect. The Holy Spirit is perfect because when he speaks truth. He speaks truth. And the Holy Spirit is perfect. Amen? So it's just truly,
Amen.
Truly a blessing that now we'll now God is letting us know he's satisfied. He satisfied us being who we are. We don't have to be perfect. But when we open our mouth, hallelujah. The anointing is perfect. The Holy Spirit is perfect. God's word is perfect. And that's what matters. It don't matter about us. It matters about the word of God. Amen? So we're going to say we got 1 minute. God bless y'all. We love you. And until next time.
Wait a minute. We got 30 more minutes. I extended the time.
Oh, you increased it. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Brother Charles can fill us in some more. I enjoy listening to all of the wisdom that he has, and I love it. So, Brother Charles, come on, give Peter some more. That is awesome. That's
okay.
Awesome to know.
I had a job in 2013. I had a choice of two jobs. There was a job in Florida. Excuse me. They're going to pay a whole lot of money by the hour and a lot of up and down money, tax-free money.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a job offer in South Boston, West Virginia. Paid a lot less money by the hour and a lot less up and down. But you know where God told me to go? Go to South Boston, West Virginia. Said, somebody else, I got some work for you to do there. Somebody
okay.
needs to talk to confirm what I told him.
Uh-huh.
So I went. I was so obedient. It was so small of a town, a grand bus didn't even go down in there. I had to hire a taxi to take me down there. It was $140 I had to get there from the airport
wow.
to the town. Okay, I got there. And I paid a guy to take me to work. I didn't have a car. I paid a guy to ride back and forth with him, but he took the money in green. I was about a week. And one morning I was begging people for a ride to work. They would even let me ride on the back of the truck, and it was raining. I get on the back of the truck in the rain. No. But I'm standing in my door crying, and I looked out across the parking lot, and this guy had his truck lights on, and he was standing in front of the truck light. And God had showed me he's still awake. I didn't see his face, but he said, "Big guy, you need a ride?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, come on, man." So I'm going to the same place. Got in the truck. I thanked him. He looked at me. I looked at him. We just standing there. I said, "I done seen you." I said, "I done seen you too." I said, "God got something for me to tell you." So I told him about what God, his wife, was saying. He had to make at least $1,200 a week to break even. His wife was sending $150 here to this televangelist. She had four televangelists that she was sending $150 a week to.
Wow.
Had all four of their children in private schools. She's driving around in a Mercedes. And when he showed me a picture of his wife, you know how good looking Rock Johnson is, the way he's built, right? Or Dwayne Johnson. This man has better proportions than Rock Johnson, a young black man. Better proportions and a much better looking face than Rock. I said, "Man, what you doing with that woman?" He said, "Well, he showed me a picture of himself when he was younger. He was an ugly duckling, fat and just ugly. But he changed to a beautiful swan when he got older." He said, "She was the only one that was spending time with me, and she was 4 years older than him."
Wow.
He said, "So we hooked up, started having sex, and she got pregnant in early life, and so she got me." Said, "I can't leave." I said, "God told me to tell you leave." Said, "The judge ruled in your favor." Said, "The judge is going to stop that money. She sent it to those televangelists. He's going to stop that." Said, "Your children don't have to be in private school. There ain't no way the law said they have to go to a private school."
Yeah.
"You don't have to drive a Mercedes and live in this great big fancy house you got to eat." He wrote me a letter about 6 months later. I got a letter from him. He said, "Man, the judge did just what you said. So I'm a free man now." I said, "You see, God told you, but you was doubting him, so he sent me up here to confirm his word."
Amen.
So, there's a whole lot of more things that I can tell you about happening on the same job, but I'm trying to give somebody else the courage to come over the line and talk.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's so amazing how God, he's amazing. It's a mystery because he operates like that. And sometimes people don't believe him because God said he still has prophets in the earth, okay? People are supposed to be operating in fivefold ministries. God has prophets in the earth. And when he give you a message to give someone, sometimes it's hard for them to receive that message. Because they're looking at the outer appearance of a person, and so it's hard to receive. But when it comes to pass, then they really realize that God is truly speaking. They realize it. They really realize
amen.
It. But yes, amen. So yes, God.
Amen.
And I tell people, he still speaks. God still speaks in the earth. He still speaks. Don't think he don't speak. He speaks to you. You know, and those of us who know his voice, we're going to adhere to it. And you have no choice but to tell people. When God gives you a message, you have no choice but to tell them. Sometimes God has had me to leave my house to go give people a message. Amen?
Amen.
And I would have to go and do it. And when he turned me loose, then I realized, what have I done? You know, because now I'm back in the flesh. Okay? So, and a lot of times people don't believe that. But God still speaks. He still operates through his prophets and prophetesses. He still operates. He's not doing anything that he hadn't done in the past. He's still Alpha and Omega. He's doing the same thing with his chosen people. But a lot of people can't receive it. But like you said, he said the judge done just what you said. And I can identify with that because God had me to tell a lady that. But see, a lot of times people stifle the Holy Spirit because when you tell them something, they don't believe it, you know, and they're, oh, you know, I don't really. And so when it's time for them to get their blessing or whatever God has for them, they don't receive it. They cut it off. They said, well, now, you know, I don't believe that. So, okay, if you don't believe it, then you can't receive it. You can't receive it. The best thing, like one lady told me one time, she said, yeah, these people be coming to. I said, wait a minute. I said, let me tell you what you do. I said, don't say that, because I don't know what God is saying to somebody else. I said, go and ask him, Lord, if this is what you said to them, I receive that. You see? And that's how you do that. That way you're not stifling the Holy Spirit. Lord, if you said it, it's going to come to pass. Okay? And so, because the Bible says you are known by the Spirit. And if that thing come to pass, then you're going to know they heard from God. Okay? So, and that's what people got to really understand. And I think a lot of people don't understand that because they haven't been taught. But I tell people, if a person, he said, they come in their own name and you believe them. He said, but when they come in my name, you won't believe me. You know, you won't believe me. And so that's what's happening to a lot of people. When they come and say, you know, this is what God told me by the Holy Spirit, or this is what he allowed me to share with you. Then they, oh, you know, no, nah, I don't, you know. And then sometimes I understand because you don't, they don't know him like you do. You have a different relationship with him. So when you go and tell people and give them a message, they just, they blow it off like it's nothing. But they have to realize it's not even you that's speaking. It's the Holy Spirit that's come to give them a message. Amen? And so,
Amen.
So that's what people have to look at. People have to realize it. If it's not of you, if it's of you, God, I know it's going to come to pass what they spoke to me. But if it's not of you, it's not going to come to pass. So I'm not going to say, oh, no, he didn't tell them that. No, I just say, if it's of you, it'll come to pass. Okay? And
Amen.
So that's what people, yes, that's what people need to realize and know and not just judge the book by the cover, so to speak, you know, because they look at us and say, oh, child, I've been, and see, this is the same thing they did with Jesus. They say, oh, I, who is that? Mary and Joseph saw the carpenter. Oh, we've been knowing
Amen.
It, you know.
Amen.
You see, and so they look at us and some of the people that's been knowing you for a while, they say, oh, child, we've been knowing, we've been knowing them
yep.
for a long time, you know, you know. And so, and that's what they say. And that's what they say. And so, you know, not realizing God is trying to give a message, you know.
Amen.
Not realizing.
See, that's a problem
yeah,
I have in my hometown. Everybody know me, a small town. And they know what I did in my childhood, but I said, God can use anybody. God can use anybody. And I tell them that all the time, but you ain't this, you ain't that, you ain't that. I said, but y'all respect whoever, I won't call no names. I said, but these, they doing the same thing I'm doing, and y'all fall out of the church when they get in the pulpit. But when I get up there, stamina doing the best I can, some of y'all get up and walk out. I said, these men got babies thrown all over Green County, but y'all call them Reverend, and y'all address me as Bobo. I said, I don't want to be called Reverend, because that name is canceled. And if you look up the word Reverend, that's a mighty word to use. The title somebody there. I call them pastor or brother. I don't call many people Reverend. I don't know two men in my lifetime that talk the word of God I call Reverend. Two. Because they live the life of a Reverend.
Amen.
And I know this. I was raised amongst them. They was older than me, but I knew how they carried themselves and perceived God their whole life. And one of them was Reverend M.K. Duncan that I asked Brother Hunter the other night, did he know anything about? He was Reverend Duncan. Reverend man of God. He was a short man, very short man, small man. But he had a voice so big, it would scare you. And he could feel the whole church talking without a microphone. His voice was that big. It came for miles, seems like. You know,
boy,
and I know he was
real.
Amen.
I'm not welcome in my hometown the same way Jesus was in my own family. Jesus' family laughed at him too. And family treats me the same way. I said, but you know what I tell them, Sister McClendon? I said, when I die, y'all going to realize a prophet was raised up amongst his household.
Well, they're going to recognize it before then because God said there won't be an excuse. So he's going to allow them to see it and to hear it. God has given them an opportunity. See, and sometimes God gives people an opportunity, even family members, friends, whomever, and they don't have to believe, but the word go forth. And let me tell you something. You keep speaking God's word. If they walk out, it's not for them in this season at that time. It's not for them because, see, the word of God is so powerful that anybody can handle it. You know, they can only handle a pinch, and that might be too much. So if they walk out, let them walk out and pray for them. Lord, thank you. Take care of them while they're walking out because this word is too powerful. You know, I reference it to Nebuchadnezzar when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. They came out not smelling like smoke being burned. So sometimes people will do that to us. But then again, guess what? It don't make any difference. We still can pray for them that they get it because we got it. We have a relationship with him. So the thing about it is if they get up and walk out, let them go. Because guess what? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. One day, that very word that you have spoken and given them, it's gonna come to pass. It will not fall to the ground. So if they get up and walk out, it's okay. It's not for them. But see, everybody can't handle the word. Everybody can't handle it at that time. You see people in churches for 40 years and 100 years still doing the same thing, saying the same thing, speaking the same way. This word is too powerful for them, and they have not accepted Jesus Christ. They haven't accepted God like you have or like I have, like we have. They haven't accepted him like that. So you can't expect somebody who don't know him to embrace us, you see? Those who you can tell people because like I tell people when sometimes if you're running about in the stores well and you're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, people are some. It might be one or two. It'd be a whole lot of them that hear you, but it might be one or two that come up and say, "Brother, that I heard you, and I just want to say God bless you." And they join in the conversation, and the rest of them will pass you by like you haven't said a word. Do you hear me?
Amen.
So same thing in the church. It's the same thing because they don't have that relationship. See, some of us have a relationship with God, so we can tell people, I heard from God. This is what the Lord said. They said, girl, please. You know, she keeps saying she heard from the Lord. I know what I hear because I have that kind of relationship with him. And everybody don't. So God had to show me. He had to allow me to realize. He said, everything that you hear from me, you can't share it right now. Jesus, hallelujah.
Amen.
You can't
Amen.
Share because they are not
Without
able
ridicule.
To withstand it. That's right.
Amen.
They're not able to withstand it. So therefore, if those who walk out, it wasn't for them, see? It's for the ones who stay and get. Even if it's just one, the Bible says he'll lead those 99 to go get that one. So if it's
Amen.
Just one person in there listening to you, you've done your job. Because God said he'll leave the 99 and go for that one. So if one person is in that church listening to you and the rest of them leave, you've done what God has called you to do, okay? Because
Amen.
He said he'll leave that 99 and just get that one. If that one is willing to sit there and listen and take that in, pray for that one. Because guess what? That one was the one. See, and every time, and even in churches when the churches are full and somebody is giving a message, everybody's not going to get it. Everybody,
yes,
there's going to be one person say, you know what, that message was for me. And another over there said, that message was for me. It may be one or two at that particular time, that message was for me. Looked like he was talking just for me. You
right.
See? So it don't
right.
matter if the church is full or not. It don't matter if they walk out or not. The message is not for them. See? So that's what we have to realize. That's what we have to realize. That they're not ready yet. Pray that they get there.
Sister Clinton, can I share one more thing with you since you got a little more
yes,
time?
Yes, of course. Uh-huh.
I went to a small church back home. It's made up of a bunch of women, a bunch of believers,
mm-hmm.
true dyed-in-the-blue Christians. The pastor's a woman. Great, great, great woman of God. All the sisters,
mm-hmm.
all the sisters in the pews is great women of God, and they all did that except for the pastor. They was my grandmother's age almost, what's the word? So the dead and gone. I seen God use one of them to raise my father from the dead. He died
Amen.
On my mother's age. They worked on him for a long time, and the doctor finally said, somebody I need to call the tank. I'm sitting there crying, mucus coming out my nose. I'm crying and hollering. And Sister Magnolia McLemore walked through the door holding my mama's hand. Said, in the name of Jesus, Son of God, release him, death, and release him right now. She said, the prayer of the righteous prevailed much. She said, I don't live a righteous life since I come to God. She said, release him, death, and that thing you have on your heart, that monitor. She gave that prayer. It came across and beat one time. Second time it beat two times. The third time it beat three times. And it started a regular heart beating. The doctors that stood there and looked at her. My daddy died. And years later, this was in 1978, Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, or Christmas Day of 1978, when they operated on him. He had cancer in his colon. They took a cancer out the size of a softball in his colon. Took out a lot of his colon. Anyway, 1992, my daddy told me, he said, I heard the angels welcome me home, sing and praise me home. I said, you're the reason I'm still in this evil world. She said, I didn't do it for you. He said, what? She said, she turned to me and said, I did it for Junior. Charles Ever Sims Jr. My daddy, Charles Ever Sims Sr. He said, I did it for both. They called me both. She said, he wasn't ready to be the head of this family at that time. He was just 20. I'm just 1978. I was born in 53, so the baby was 20-something years old. He said, he wasn't ready. Yeah. So now he is. If you're ready to die now, so go on and die. So he's ready now. You know, that's what she told me in my presence. But that same church, I got to share this with you. I went there one Sunday, and I was so weak in the spirit, I had a group called Addiction Anonymous. I had 12 people in the group, and I was the sponsor for all of them. And they all was addicted to crack. And I was everybody's sponsor. And I was so weak because I would spend a night with this one to keep him from smoking crack. The crack dealer come right out to sell crack, and I would be there, and they would leave. And they said, man, I made it a whole night, thanks to you and God, and I didn't have to smoke this crack. So I did that with everybody. And my spirit got weak. So I went there to the church that day, and the preacher beat me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet and back up from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head again. And I got up and I thanked him. I thanked him for it. And I asked him, would they pray for me? And I told him what I was doing. And I sat down on the mourner's bench. And those old ladies, the first one to lay hands on me was Sister Essie Johnson. And my anointing was so strong that even in my weakest state, physically weakest state, the spirit was still there. It knocked her hands off. She tried again and knocked him off. She said, oh, my God. She said, you asked for prayer. We need you to pray for us. The pastor come down and tried to lay hands on me. Sister McLemore did it. Every one of them there except for one old woman that just hated me. And Sister Johnson walked over to her and said, Mary, you need to get up and go get some of this anointing. She finally got up with her face all frowned up and put her hands on me and knocked her off. She grabbed me with both hands, knocked both hands off, and I just went there. She used to talk about me so bad, this woman did.
Wow.
And I went back by her house about 3 days later. I said, you see, I'm anointed. I told my dad he don't believe, so you don't believe. I said, but you find out Sunday in your church, I'm anointed by God to do what I do.
Amen.
God can use either bad.
That's right.
And the Bible says he'll take the foolish and confound the wise with him.
Okay. All right.
You know, that's how he works.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
How he works. He worked through me and did nobody believe I was anointed to do the things I did.
Amen. That, you know what, that is so powerful. That is a powerful testimony. Do you know, see, we used to see that. We don't see it today anymore. Nobody is praying for anybody to get healed, delivered, and set free. And God said in Mark 16 and 17, he said, these signs shall follow them. We should be doing that. People should be getting healed, delivered, and set free by the power of the Holy Ghost, by us going and speaking and doing what God said. But people are not doing it anymore because they are so used to their traditions.
Amen.
And God is... They're so used to, and God showed me something the other day. He said, you see how I changed these people's traditions? They're no longer drinking out the same cup in the church. Huh? They're no longer, huh? He said, they're no longer, he said, they don't even know I'm changing their tradition. They think it's coronavirus. He said, but I'm changing their tradition. He said, now they won't even eat the same, out of the same bread. Eat the same bread out of the table. He said they won't even drink out the same. He said their tradition, I'm changing it. Because they used to drink out the same cup. Oh, we're brothers and sisters. Now where the brotherhood
Amen.
At?
Amen.
Where the brotherhood at? You look here. He said the Bible says ye have little faith. No, your faith is little because keep on drinking out that same cup. You've been drinking out of it. So where's your faith? You've been eating that bread out the same basket. Where's your faith? So that lets you know you have little faith. But see, a lot of places are traditional, and that's all it is. It's tradition. We're doing the same thing. Oh, my mama did this. My daddy did this. But when are you going to do what Jesus did? When are you going to do what Jesus did? Jesus said you should do greater work. So when are we going to be doing what Jesus did? That's what his father sent him for. When are we going to be doing greater work? See, I don't want to do what everybody else did. I don't want to do traditional Amen. Things like all the family members did. I want to do greater works. Amen? So I don't need
Amen.
So God is changing their tradition. See, and that's the thing. People got to realize God said, I'm going to change your tradition and without you even knowing. You don't even know me. So when I'm changing things around, you wondering why things are happening. He said, because I don't want you in tradition anymore. I want you out of it. I want you out of tradition because I told you greater works shall you do. And they're not doing greater works. They're doing what they want to do. And I prayed about it a long time ago. I said, Lord, what is going on with this? He said, they're doing their own thing. They're not even hearing from me. So a lot of these places and churches are not hearing from God. They're doing their own things, all the programs and all the this and all of that. When is it going to be greater works and when is it going to be by Jesus?
Amen.
You see?
Amen.
So, you see people raised from the dead. We don't see that because they said, let me go and pray for you. The Bible said, lay hands on them. He said, is that any sick among you? He said, let the elders go. He said, go
elders.
Lay hands on them. He said, the proud
Amen.
Faith will hear them. And he said, if they got in the sins, I'll hear them too. So when God send me, I only go when he send me. And I lay hands on the sick and they shall recover by the word of God. Not by me, but because I'm obedient to God's word. They shall recover. That's what God's word says. And it won't fall to the ground. Amen. It shall not fall to the ground. Hallelujah. Shall not. So that's what we're not seeing anymore. All we're seeing is tradition. That's all we're seeing. It's tradition.
I often thought about that too. So Jesus and them drank out the same cup, broke the same piece of bread, and shared it.
Okay.
And
okay.
I think we have to meet in the churches. We all got our own little glasses and our own wafers. So that's not the way Jesus and them did it. I've always thought about that.
But some of these churches call themselves modeling themselves after God, drinking out of the same cup, eating bread, breaking bread together, eating out. But when this thing came up, guess what? They bowed down. They said, we ain't drinking out the same cup no more. No, we ain't eating out the same bread. We just gonna smile. We ain't gonna even shake your hand. You have little faith.
Yep.
It's all a show.
My God.
It's all a show. God said, I'm going to show you up. I'm going to see how much. I'm going to let people see where your faith is. You won't drink out the same cup. Now, who are you afraid of, man or me? Who are you afraid of? They have no fear of God. Because, see, you were drinking out the same cup. He said, I'm changing your tradition. I'm changing this show you got going. Because all you got going is a show. for everybody to see you like you some kind of a rabbi, like you some kind, truly some kind of God. You're some kind
Amen.
Of priest. God, I'm
Amen.
A stranger. Because there's only one high priest, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only one. The high priest. That's the only high priest that you have. See, they worshiping a man. We don't worship men, you know.
Amen.
Only
Amen.
One high priest.
Thank you for that. Powerful. That's the most powerful thing you done said tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. I don't worship
so, yeah.
no man.
That's
I admire
right.
a whole lot of men, but I don't worship no man.
No, we can't.
I worship the God that became a man, that rose again from the dead as a man, as a God. That's who I worship.
Amen. That's right. See, and the Bible says this. Call no man rabbi.
Amen.
Call no man reverence. So I don't reverence man. Like Jesus God saying, I don't reverence man. I don't reverence man. You know. I just don't. You know, I'm going to respect you. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to respect you. But all of these titles and names and stuff, it needs, the Bible said greater works. That's what he said. He said greater works. I want to see greater works. I want to see greater works done. I see miracles that God has done and is doing. I want to see greater works happening all around. See, and a lot of people see him, but they don't recognize him. I thank God that I can recognize him. He allowed me to see him. I thank God for that. Thank God that we are not blind. We have eyes and we can see, because the Bible said they have eyes, but they can't see. But I thank God for our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears, listening for his voice. Amen. I thank God for that.
Amen.
It's truly a blessing. Truly a blessing. Yes. Truly
you know what, Sister McClendon? This, my brother Hunter heard me talking to a man about the Bible one day at the thing at the VA hospital. I was out here by myself. Family wouldn't come see me no more. My daughter stopped coming to see me. Son ain't spoke to me since 2013. And I'm out here by myself. And, you know, he made a social creature, socialized with each other. And I didn't have nobody to socialize with. Brother Hunter invited me to the group. He recognized
Amen.
God in me. Y'all don't
Amen.
Know how happy I am. I'm not alone. I know I always have had God, but we need
yes.
men. Steel sharpens steel and men sharpen men. We need
Amen.
Another man
Amen.
And a woman of God to talk with. And y'all don't
Amen.
Know what a blessing y'all have been to me. I'm not
Amen.
Lonely anymore.
Amen.
I'm not.
You know, yes. Amen. You know what? And I tell you what, I thank God for Jesus, because that's when you walk in closely with God, and when you begin to walk close with him, he separates everything. He starts separating even children, family, friends. He separates you, because you see, I have to have your undivided attention. And so you walk that lonely walk, and you say, man, family won't come see me, family ain't about this and that. But God said, don't worry, I'm doing this. Because I'm putting something in you that they can't handle right now. And I'm separating you because I want you to absorb it all. Amen? So when they do come in contact with you, then they'll know how to receive this. Some will and some won't. So, but God said he the one who separates. So that's what he was doing. He was separating. See, I felt the same way. I'm like, man, I don't have no friends. But God, see, when he brings people in your life, they're going to fit the puzzle. See, and you can walk. He said, how can the two walk together unless they're on the same accord? So
Amen.
That's what happened to us, brother. But I thank God for everyone that was on the line tonight. I thank you for sharing with us. And we have 1 minute. And so I just praise God tonight. It has been a wonderful night. And what we're going to do is, God bless y'all. I love you. Until next time, we're going to be prepared to receive the message of God. Amen. And we're going to stay praying in Jesus' mighty name, okay?
Amen.
So y'all be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. And thank y'all
be
so
blessed.
Much. Amen. You all as well. Okay. And have a good night.
Have a blessed night, everybody.
Amen. Amen. Good night.
Good night.